Show, episode number 418. My name is John Morgan, and Cold Coffee is with me here at the fabulous Casa de Cold Coffee in a windy and still too damn cold Las Vegas. When is spring going to get here, Cold Coffee? I jinxed this last week. I said, oh, feels like that warm weather's finally here, man. I go out of town. I come back. I'm expecting to have a nice, warm, you know, springtime. I always say April and October, and we're almost in April, and it's still chilly outside. What's going on?
Vegas is just so sad that you're always gone, that when you come back, it's just crying tears. It's crying tears. I will tell you, I went hiking or like out into the desert to like Valley of Fire the other day.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was perfect weather for it.
Really?
Like, this is like the best. I felt like it's just that last chance to kind of get to explore around Vegas.
Yep.
It was funny. We went out to Red Rock. There's a bunch of people that were like rappelling and
doing
all this other kind of crazy shit. It's funny. My niece's boyfriend, he's like, oh, man, look at those guys. Man, what is that again? Lapelling? I was like, yeah, you definitely don't want to hang your gear off your lapel. Like, you might not last long.
That would be your collar, sir. That would be your collar. They are rappelling.
They are rappelling, not lapelling. Or they were just straight up dying. but, like, everybody was out there doing it because it was just, like, perfect. So, yeah, it is a bit not warm and not as sunny, but I do like the temperature-wise. I just wish the wind
Yeah, but you're the dude that sets your air conditioning at, like, 58 degrees, dude. Like, we'll be in your room on the I'm like, let me just hang my side of meat in here so that it stays nice and fresh.
I hope the AC in Miami is cold because I'm going to get there. And if it started already warm up, I'm like, boom, let's drop this shit down.
I mean, you could probably call ahead right now and ask him to go ahead.
Could you start cooling my room right now?
It usually doesn't get all the way cool until I leave on Sunday, and I would really like it to be ice cold.
I imagine you tried to do that in Brazil. Like, could you turn your AC on down there? And they're like, hey
what AC?
90 is normal.
I will say I did see a couple of your social media pictures, man, for getting out there. You know, we don't really talk about that much. I mean, not that we're like some big outdoorsy, hikey type people or whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say for people that ever come to Las Vegas that maybe want to get outside and see something that's not
sure.
Las Vegas. Man, that Red Rock and then up north, the Valley of Fire. Man,
Valley of Fire was beautiful.
It literally, I mean, it's like some type of alien landscape or something. I mean, it's just so unique. It is worth it, man. If you've got a day to go visit and
both of them are
Vegas,
like less than an hour drive.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get out to Mount Charleston less than an hour. Valley of Fire was less than an hour. I mean, we stood in line. There was a little bit of a line to get into it. Cars were trying to wait. I think they're still kind of doing what a lot of state parks are doing, where you either have to have a reservation to get into it, like you pick a time slot.
Right.
And then when you get up there, you show them the barcode. I think what they were doing on this particular one is they were waiting for cars to leave and then letting some go in. They were kind of
metering it, basically.
Stuff, which is still like post-pandemic sort of like whatever. They just haven't sort of done a free-for-all. But I think partially, too, just to give yourself time to get to place. Last thing you want to do is get to this beautiful state park and have a car riding your ass so you can't take in the scenery.
Right.
So it kind of limits it a little bit. But with the weather the way it was, and, of course, the sun for the most part is going to be out, it was just absolutely beautiful. And it had been a few years since I went out to Valley of Fire. Man, it was just incredible. And it's great to take family there. But you're right. Some of the rock and the scenery looks literally like what you would see out of a Martian space movie. Just the outcroppings of rocks going here and the colors and stuff. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
I mean,
it's perfect for like all those, for all you that like to do like landscape pictures and stuff. There's no scenery like it.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. But yeah, so I got to do a little bit of that and the weather was good enough for it. But what was crazy, we went out to Red Rock, it started snowing. I was like, what the F is this? It was like unbelievable. And it was weird because back home when it would snow and say if you're a lot of places, you have the big, big flakes. What was coming down here looked like tiny little balls. Like it just sort of stuck together. And it wasn't like hail or anything like that, but like the flakes were like little teeny balls that would just land and then just stuck on your arm and then, you know, moments later, it was just gone.
Yeah.
It was just gone. It melted. But it was just crazy to see that out there, you know? Like, you could feel the humidity in the air. And I think that's why it felt chillier. It's because all that just, you know, precipitation up in the air. So the humidity was just higher. Or at least there was more moisture in the air.
Yep.
Whenever you say humidity, you always think, like, oh, heat and the whatever. But you could just feel that moisture.
Well, that's the thing about living here in the desert. When there's moisture in the air, you can
feel
it.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
It's weird because my brother-in-law was like, oh, I'm drying out here. But then he would complain the next second about, oh, there's all this moisture in the air, so it's cold. I'm like, well, which is it? Are you drying out, or is there too much moisture in the air? But regardless, seeing snow at Red Rock was just, it's just beautiful, because you're so used to seeing, you know, just mountains. And later on the summer, it's brown, red. But there was a lot, since we've had more rain recently, it was green. It was just beautiful. Awesome. So it was like perfect to go out there. So it's definitely worth it. If you're making a quick trip to Vegas before it gets to summertime, it's a perfect time to do that stuff, because right now the temperatures haven't gotten
crazy.
Yeah,
if you're here during the summertime, it's like July, August. It's like brutal. It's brutal out there. I mean,
you got to
still
go crack a dawn or right before it closes.
Or if you just want to do like the drive through or whatever,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
But keep
your AC on. But you know, just jump out and take a quick picture. But like during July, August, like you can't hike during the middle of the day. It's brutal.
Nobody's
but,
climbing the mountains, because you're gonna burn your hands off unless you have the right gear. I mean, yeah, this shit just.
But it is cool if you're ever coming out here and you got some time to spare and you want to see something a little bit different. You want to get off the strip for a little bit, man. Yeah. It's a pretty cool spot. So
unreal.
Cool. Glad you got to enjoy it. Well, obviously, there's only one place to start, and that is to talk about the most important martial arts accomplishment of the week, and that is very clearly my kid got his gray belt last night. So that's obviously really all we're here to talk about, is just the phenomenal accomplishment. Now, I was proud dad last night. It was a surprise belt promotion he'd been working for quite a while, and man, it was cool. He's been working a long time to get there, because, you know, you had the pandemic and we've changed gyms a couple of times to give him some different looks and that sort of things. But it was proud papa moment. And I just want to take a moment to recognize the son. And as I put in my social media post, there's days where he goes and he's like, oh, I'm tired, I don't really want to. But then he pushes past that initial part and always ends up having a good time and proud of himself. So shout out to the crew over at American Top Team Nevada. Of course, our good friend Alex Davis, his son Johan, teaching over there. And I was pretty proud of the kid. And want to use that as a reminder that if you've got a kid, put him in jiu-jitsu, man. Put him in any kind of martial art, some kind of martial art, but I think jiu-jitsu.
Something with ground in it.
Yeah.
Grappling, wrestling, jiu-jitsu.
No offense to – wrestling is amazing too, man. Actually, during the summertime, I want to see if maybe I can get him in some like wrestling camps or something like that and work on that.
Especially, I think, when they're young, while they have that crazy energy. I think if they find it that it's a good exertion point, something they could spend all that energy in, you know, I think it's perfect for them, because they can go hard.
Yep.
And then, you know, there's no striking, there's no whatever. So, I mean, it's not like the part they're going to get bopped in their head and then start crying or whatever. I mean, they're going to get frustrated in this, but it's perfect for them. It's a wonderful way for them to build, you know, self-confidence and learn skill, gain muscle mass, and just be able to be a little badass.
Well, and that's the thing.
And
I
they can
say.
Protect themselves a little bit better. All fights eventually go to the ground at some point.
100%.
Unless you're just like a one-off KO.
You
man.
Know.
And then you're just standing over him and you're like, are you done?
You throw a lazy leg kick at him, bro. They don't go to the ground,
this
bro.
Shit doesn't happen like that
I
often.
Mean, not everybody can be out cold coffee, you know what I'm saying? Kimbo Slice over here just wearing people out.
Oh, all the names, all the names.
So good, bring it up. But no, you know, what I always do say about this for kids, and if you got a young kid and you're like, I don't know, you know, it is hard and it is frustrating, and there are hard days, but A, that teaches character, right? Yeah. I mean, when you have to battle through those tough days and you know what a struggle is like. But the other thing too is that and I really do believe this, that being in jiu-jitsu makes your kid kind of more or less bully proof, you know? Like the whole thing about bullies, as we know, man, it's just getting so bad in society now. I mean, you hear these awful stories of kids depressed and, you know, gosh, I hate to even say it, but taking their own life because they're so depressed about being bullied. It's sad, man. It's so sad. But those bullies, you know, they kind of prey on your fear, and I know a lot of it's gone beyond, you know, now it's like mental type bullying and you know, cyber type stuff, not just I'm going to kick your ass, but they are those still bullies that make you think they're going to beat your ass. And if you've never been in a fight and you don't know what it feels like, you get scared. Cause you're like, I don't want to get hit. But man, if you do jiu-jitsu and you're wrestling or whatever it may be, and you have those hard spars along the way, you know what it feels like, and you know you can do it. And it's still a little bit scary, of course. I mean, but it's not, you know, a situation where you're, you know, just so afraid that you're petrified and you know, kind of find yourself being bullied, for lack of a better term. So anyway, don't want to throw it out there to everybody.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Put your kid in it.
It's very, very cool. And it's funny because I don't really know like the jiu-jitsu belts and maybe if it's a kid thing or whatever, but like I had never seen a gray belt before. I was like, I don't know what a gray belt is.
Yeah.
You know, because like in karate and stuff like that, usually yellow's like the next belt up. And then so I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know what a gray is. I was like, I literally at first I was thinking like, is Eli already beyond that? Because gray seems cooler than just like a yellow belt.
So with kids, before you get to the adult system, it starts out as white, obviously. Uh-huh. And then they have, because you can do it for so long as a kid, they have a bunch of belts. So it's like gray, white, then gray, black. Then yellow, white, yellow, yellow, black.
Wow.
Then
really
orange, white, orange, orange, black. And then green, white, green, green, black. So, yeah, there's
so
a ton of
through.
Yeah, there's a ton of belts.
Interesting.
And then you get to the adult belt system when I think you're 18 or something like that.
So, okay.
Or maybe when you're 16, if you've been doing it, you can get to the adult system.
That's cool. That's very, very cool.
He was proud.
I was proud of him.
Yeah, I was proud. I definitely had that proud dad moment. And it's cool because, you know, there's certain schools that they have, like, belt tests, and they do certain days, and you kind of know the promotion is coming. That's not the way they do it at American Top Team. It's kind of like, hey, we'll promote you when we feel like you're ready. But that's kind of cool because then it's like a surprise. You know, they were handing out stripes, and then after they got done handing out stripes to a couple kids, and there's like, and there's one promotion we need to make, and you know, they started talking about Eli and his attitude and how he's been proved and that sort of thing, and then you know, but he didn't know it was him. They were just saying, you know, this kid has done this, et cetera, et cetera.
And then, that's cool.
And then they're like, Eli, and he stood up, and Johan like pulled the gray belt out of his gi and was like, gave it to him, and he was proud, man.
Cool. That's cool.
Oh, so cool.
And I love it when that, because I mean, knowing those guys, the guys that are instructing, I mean, there's always going to be some level where they want to, there's a fine line where I think you have to, you push kids hard, but you also have to promote them so that they stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't want to go too far where, you know, years down the line when my nieces and nephew finally hear this and they'll hold it against me, they're going through like one of these like karate, like, I'm just going to say shopping mall, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forget McDojo. What level that they've went through. And I'm just like, come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, come on now.
Your 9-year-old's a black belt, really.
You're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, all right.
You know, he's going to be dangerous, you know. But, you know, I have no idea what their level of their instructor is or whatever. But, you know, when you look at who's teaching Eli, like, you know they're going to make sure that he's knowing what he's doing, you know. But there's always a fine line with kids because you want to – give them a sense of accomplishment. So you want to make sure that you promote them at some point, but you also got to make it so that you're not giving it away. You're giving them a false sense of belief in themselves. Like, I can't remember if my niece, I don't think she's a black belt, but I'm almost like, it's ridiculous. I'm like, yo, I'm like, don't show that fucking certificate
anywhere.
It's
somebody's niece, like, that I know.
I'm like, stop. Don't put that up because, I mean, like, don't go to high school and think like, oh, you're going to start shit. And they're like, oh, where'd you train? Oh, McDojo.
I know.
Down the street.
Trust me, man. I've seen it. Like, there's, you know, obviously in the community, you know, having a kid, my wife, she knows a bunch of people. And, you'll hear like, oh, so your kid trains martial arts? Oh, yeah. Oh, mine does too. Yeah, my 11-year-old's a brown belt right now. Whatever. Just like,
he's a red belt
now.
Yeah,
he's a red belt. Like, come on, man. Like, really? Come on. It's such a fine line. You don't understand martial arts enough to know that this is dumb. Like, come on, please tell me you do.
I mean, it's tough because you know that they're doing the right things, and I'm sure parents, you know, me as a non-parent, I'm sure that any parents, like, they're glad that their kids found something. They're glad that their kids pushing something, and you're happy when they do it. But yeah, I would think that people like us that work in the field, there's that point where you almost want to have it tempered. Like, okay, your kid's getting promoted, they're doing all this other stuff. Are you really paying attention to how good he's actually is? Or are you just happy that, you know, you feel like, because I wonder if there's pressure, just like any other sport or like, you know, where, you know, soccer or whatever, people expect their kids at some point. I've been paying you for 2 years.
Absolutely.
Why isn't my kid a third-degree black belt by
100%.
Now, you know?
And you're right, in the other sports, it's like, why isn't my kid playing? It's like,
why isn't my kid playing?
Well, your kid's the worst on the team, so we have him sitting on the bench right now. You know what I mean? It's like,
but I don't understand.
I know.
Partly it's like, are you paying attention?
I know.
You know, it's tough because you want it to be the right thing. You also want it to be like, don't treat a kid like the adult that's 30 years old and understands what effort that he's really putting into it and what should be expected of him. I mean, he's held to a different level. You don't want a kid to be held to that same level, but you also want these McDojos, like, come on, make the kid at least try. Mm-hmm. Don't just give him a false sense of whatever and push him up, because then they're going to go to high school. They're going to talk to the wrong kid that's been fighting on the street, and the kid on the street's going to be like, you see that sometimes with, like, they always say Street Fighter versus Karate Ninja whatever, and then, like, the Street Fighter just like, oh, okay, you're a ninja, huh? Okay, wop, wop, wop. And it's done, but it's just so funny, but whatever. But, yeah, dude, I was so proud. And what's cool is that Eli and those kids that are getting that, they're at like a legit place. It's not a McDojo.
Yep.
I'm going to tease Alex next time I see him. Like, I hear you have one of those McDojos. Do you know what a McDojo is?
No, it's cool. It is one thing that I really – I mean, obviously, you know, Alex being a friend of ours for a long time, I always told him that whenever – because he's like, I'm going to open a school in Vegas. Definitely. Alex is hard on him. And sometimes Eli gets a little mad, and I'm like, you know why he's doing that? Because he wants to help you. Like, he's trying to make you better. But no, you know, Alex.
People pay extra for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Alex, for years, was like, when I open a school, you got to bring your kid. And as soon as he did, I did. But it's so cool. You literally, like, on most nights, there's three black belts on the mat teaching the kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
well, even when you look at that picture, when he was reaching over and he was, you know, shaking the hands or whatever, when you look at the guys that are there, you're like, badass. Like, you know, it's like. That's intense.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
What was that show? Eastbound and Down or whatever? No, that was the baseball one.
That was the baseball one. Yeah.
What was the one? There was I thought it was like that around that same thing of that same guy that there was a mall karate dude or something.
Oh, yeah. Danny McBride is the actor's name, right?
Yeah. Same guy or something?
I think so. I know what you're talking about. No, I can't remember.
That was like the funniest shit ever. I don't know if it was like a real show or am I just making it up.
There was a movie called The Foot Fist Way. I don't know if that was
maybe
it.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's where it came from.
I don't know. But
anyway.
Yeah. I love that shit. But that's what we almost assume that a lot of them are. So it's like, yeah, you don't see many graduates of that school making it to the UFC at some point.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Proud of the little man. All right, listen, you talked about the trip. Come back. Was down in Colombia this past weekend for Empire MMA 4. I just wanted to share a little stuff because it was a cool trip, man. The event was fun. Hopefully people got a chance to watch a little bit of it on YouTube. It's still on the MMA Underground YouTube page if you didn't. If you want to check out a little bit, myself and Ben the Bane Davis were on the mic.
Yeah.
Tried to grab him for the and a half episode the next day. But he had already taken off, man. He actually turned it into a little vacation and went to Cartagena, I believe is the name of the city, a little beach city down the road. So he was gone. So I ended up doing the and a half episode over at Patreon by myself. But I got to share a couple things because you know, the MMA Roadshow used to be a lot about travel. And then lately, we've just been traveling to, like, Florida or we're just staying home. So there's not a lot of crazy stories. But, dude, the day I went to go check in, I guess I probably should have looked ahead because – I had to fill out all this stuff. They're still making you show COVID vaccinations to get down there.
Really?
Yeah. Couldn't believe it. I had to fill out like this whole thing. So like in the hour before I was about to go board, I'm scrambling to fill out like this paperwork that you had to fill out online. But you had to show that proof to get in. You had to send it to like the system for a verification, and then you had to bring it as well. So I don't know, man. It was a little wild. I just didn't think any countries at all still had this, but it made me think, you know, you've heard UFC President Dana White talking about, you know, starting to travel again and how we're going to get around. But he always says, you know, we're going to do it where they make it easy to go do it. Not that they'd be looking to do a show in Colombia right now, but that would be a place where they wouldn't go because, you know, so I didn't know places like that were still out there. So that was pretty wild. But I tell you what was even wilder.
Yeah, you just almost have to just keep your. You just keep your COVID card with your passport. That's what I do.
That's
now.
That's what I did. Yeah,
just keep it with your passport.
I never have traveled with it, but I just put it with my passport and kept it in my
bag.
Or at
least a copy of it. I think they'll accept
they usually will accept a copy.
Or a copy of it.
I carried it just in case because I didn't want to get turned around. Or else. I actually had the manual card.
That was
pretty. I know. Sorry. But okay, so that was a little wild. But let me tell you what was even wilder going out, man. And this is crazy. When we go to leave, you can do the typical security stuff, no big deal, right? But once you scan your boarding pass to get on the plane, down in the jet bridge, they have it all set up where they manually look through every single bag. They physically look through every single bag. And on top of that, I saw them frisking a flight attendant before she got on the plane. So I guess that's remnants of the Pablo Escobar Colombian drug export days. Like they
check everyone.
Checked every bag and frisked the flight attendant when she got on the plane. I thought that was – I was like, damn, I can't believe I'm watching this right now.
Was she cute?
Yeah, she wasn't that. Yeah. maybe
she got singled out.
Wow, look at you. No, these were professionals, sir. They were doing their job.
Were they? They're like, let me. I know I checked the top section. I'm just going to go back. Chuck, come over here. Come over here.
You're ridiculous, sir. You're ridiculous. But yeah, I thought that was wild. Dude, I will say this. If you're looking for a place to stretch the American dollar as far as you possibly can, go down to Colombia for a little bit.
What was the exchange?
So cheap. Like 5,000 pesos to one.
Is that like enough to buy a house? That sounds like a lot.
Well, prices are a lot because it is everything. But so, for instance, one night, and I mentioned this on the half show as well. After the ceremonial weigh-ins, we were like, "Well, let's get some drinks and head back to the hotel. We'll hang out in the lobby or whatever." So there was like this little convenience store right next to the ceremonial weigh-in. So we grabbed two bottles of wine, a bottle of vodka, some Red Bulls for mixers, some orange juice for mixers, and then some like prosciutto, some cheese, and crackers to
make
like a snack.
What did the other guys get?
Yeah.
That was right, me. So you're set. What did the other guys get?
It was me and Ben. So we grabbed all that. I went to pay for it. I was like, I got to spend. I'll pay for everything. The number was insane. It's like, you know, $250,000 or whatever it is. I'm like, I can't even calculate this in my head. So anyway, paid for it. Went back. I was like, I wonder how much I spent for that. And it was like $52 U.S. for two bottles of wine, a bottle of vodka, some Red Bull, some orange juice, some cheese, some crackers, some prosciutto, $50. Everything was cheap.
That's not too bad.
It was real cheap.
Wow.
So if you want to go hang out there. But here's how cheap it is.
The current rate is a dollar is 18 Mexican pesos.
Well, I was in Colombia, sir.
Oh, well, it's the same thing. Where's Colombia?
Gosh, 18. Wow, it used to be like 10 when I was a kid.
Yeah. $1 now is 4,633 Colombian pesos. So it's went down since.
It went down a little bit, huh? Insane. So check this out. So I was talking to some of these fighters, and we have some really good prospects on the card. There was a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old that fought, which was wild. But then you had like some early 20-year-olds that competed. And I was talking to them about like the opportunities that are down there, and that's kind of what Empire MMA is trying to do, is kind of give these people a platform and an opportunity to compete. But I was talking to some of these fighters, and they were saying, basically, if you could get a sponsorship of $500 US a month, you could stop working and just train full time.
Jeez, I can almost do that.
Right? Isn't that crazy? It made me think, like, because
that's a decent chunk of money down there. But to think 500,
because like 500 a month here, like that doesn't even pay for your groceries, man. Like right. If you had a $5, not that any fighter wouldn't appreciate a $500 a month sponsorship. They would. Okay, they're gonna appreciate anything they can. If they're at that 2-0 level, 3-0 level, trying to make their way up, they're gonna appreciate anything they can.
Yeah.
But to think that if you had that type of sponsorship, you could quit working and train full time. That's pretty insane.
So that cover rent and everything?
Yeah.
$500 would be $2,316,680 Colombian pesos.
They were like, dude, I wouldn't have to work. I could just train full time.
Wow.
I was like, that's crazy. So anyway, I wanted to make people aware that, and it got me thinking about the whole South American scene. Like, I'm sure there's other, even Brazil, but I'm sure there's other places like that as well where, man, they don't need much to try to chase their dream. And it seems like, you know, there's an opportunity there for maybe some forward-thinking companies to maybe hook up with some athletes. Maybe if you have some ties into the South American scene, you know?
Some that you're able to tell people about, your other secretive ties to Colombian scene. You maybe don't want to tell
anybody about. Maybe not those that force you to be frisked legit, on the way out. Yeah.
If you have any legit ties to people down in the Colombian.
Well, I'm thinking if you had like a U.S.-based business that maybe has some Colombian roots, or maybe does some business in Colombia as well, and you could, again,
legit business.
Yeah, legit businesses. Yeah. Pharmaceutical imports, you know what I mean?
Medicines of certain type.
But, yeah, man, $500, like, you know, if it was U.S., it's really not putting you out that much, but you could potentially change somebody's life, you know what I mean, and give them the opportunity to really chase their dream. So,
hearing, like, one of those commercials that you always hear, you see, like, the old guy that's like, support a family.
Yeah.
For just this, you can support a Colombian fighter.
So
someday he might make it to the UFC.
And he'll remember you. It's funny. I was watching the UFC show. Actually, I had my computer set up right next to our broadcast position. I was watching the
UFC while the broadcast?
Yeah. Well, I was taking looks at it. I was like,
you are the worst.
No. Obviously, I'm calling the fights, but I glanced over. I did see. So I went back and watched the fights later. Obviously, not the greatest card of all time. Masterful performance from Corey Sandhagen.
People were hating on that thing. I was like, it wasn't that bad, but people were just shitting on the level. Like, so many people just, I don't know. Well, one, I don't know why they feel like they have to like be so angry and vocal about like cards being, oh, this is the weakest card we've seen. I was like, why are you putting that out there? I mean, like, who fucking cares?
Just enjoy the fights.
I mean, because if anything, how do you slap a fighter in the face without slapping them personally? You call the card that he is on or she is on as weak.
Yep.
As one of the worst you've seen in years. You try to say it and you say, oh, the UFC, they got to do better, man. This card sucks. Everybody on the card's like,
thanks.
thanks, buddy. Yeah. You know, I just hate it. Not that I'm like, because I don't care that, oh, the UFC is going to be upset because we're saying it. It's like everybody that's on there, you're literally shitting on them, you know? I just, it's whatever. But
yeah.
Whatever, because I saw a lot of the, and people are putting that about this next card. I feel like someone was just saying about again, and then everybody loves to say about Bellator, but I'm like, we need to find better verbiage.
Yeah.
When we want to say that a card's maybe not up to the scale of what the last one is or whatever. People just got to realize that all these fighters, especially that look up to half of you that are writing about them, don't call the card that they're on weak, the lamest card that's been around, you know, all that other shit, because you're in a polite way, even though you're not saying that person, you're saying that person, mm-hmm. you know? And it just sucks. Because we all know how hard they train for it, but whatever. I'll get off my soapbox. I'm sure I've said it in the past as well. So I'm saying this to myself.
But it is true. I mean, look, you know? I will say the card wasn't the most exciting card of all time, but
yeah.
But there were some moments. But I agree with you. But there were definitely some moments. But I was sad, I guess, that I didn't get to be there for Cowboy Cerrone's Hall of Fame.
You would think that Dana would give you the heads up. Say, John, you know what we're going to do in this one? I'm going to fly his family out. Should we fly you out as well? I know you're a big fan of him. I think it would have been cool if they were able to get Grandma out there. I thought that was pretty cool that they said that they tried and they were going to fly out like a nurse with her or whatever. I was like, dude.
That's pretty cool.
That's going above and beyond. That's kind of what you would have wanted, you know. But I thought that was pretty good. I thought they did a really good job of being able to keep that under wraps. Like, mm-hmm. he legit looked like... Wow, and it was cool that they showed the video. And the very first shot, when they panned over to him, you could see like his eyes were watering and all that shit. Yeah. I was like, "Got him!
Yep,
they got him!"
That was pretty cool.
That was so cool, so cool. And when he stood up and just like addressed the crowd, and the crowd just ate it up.
Yep.
And you can imagine anybody. And again, you never know when stuff like that's going to happen. But guarantee anybody that was there was happy to watch the fights. But let alone to know that they were there when Cowboy got announced, and then to have him be there, they're never going to forget that moment. You know, that's going to be so cool and so special for them. And that was just awesome for him to be able to kind of just share that with them.
It really
he got like the big. It was like one of the biggest pops of the whole night, easily.
Yes, it was.
And they brought him to the media room, and of course, people were eating it up there. It was so good, man. It was so good. Every once in a while, the UFC does like. Like, they get one of those right.
Yep.
Too many times we get either these Hall of Fames where it's just a video on the screen, you know, nobody's there, nobody whatever, and it's just like, okay, if you're not paying attention to the screen nonstop, you miss the announcement until another media outlet put it or whatever.
Yep.
But if you know it's going to be big like that and there's a possibility of having those time where you could bring the fighter out just for that particular moment, do it. Because, I mean, look what it did. It was perfect. It was the best way to do it. I think they did it because it is Cowboy. He's worth it. He's worth it to put that money in. Maybe they're not going to spend that much money to bring whole families out or whatever.
Right.
But you figure it's Hall of Fame.
That dude's been around for a
while. Yeah, I mean,
man.
And what he's put into it.
Yeah.
But I just thought that they got that one right.
And he is a Hall of Famer. And I know I'm biased as hell because he's been one of my favorites. So I know this is one of those things that, oh, well, of course John Morgan says that. Like that. He's openly said, like, that's his favorite fighter. But I'm just saying, detach yourself from that. I did see a lot of people going like, oh, I don't know if he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Dude, if you don't think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, like, I'm sorry, bro. I can't talk to you.
Well, I love the sort of the precedent that it sets up, because we've been saying this for a year that we thought he was worth it, that it was memorable, what he's done for the UFC, what he brought into it, and just sort of that whole mentality. But everybody's always like, well, what has he really won? What sort of titles, what sort of whatever can he hang his hat on? And it was like, man, I don't know. I don't know what to put on. It's just, how do you say, I just love everything about what this guy represents.
Mm-hmm.
Now the floodgates are open.
Yep.
You know, before it was almost like, okay, do we have to put like a People's Choice Award, the blah, 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 blah. Find some way to be able to put people into the modern area, not the pilgrim age of the UFC.
That'd be the pioneer wing, sir. Not the pilgrim wing.
Well, I was like, you know, it sounds better when it's older, when it's pilgrim.
I like pilgrim.
It's just, I love it because now I feel like, okay, cool. Now the precedent's been set, so now we find these guys that maybe never make it to the top that we absolutely love.
The next name, obviously, Jim Miller.
Jim Miller.
Automatic.
I was gonna say, this is the Jim Miller card that's gonna happen down the line. So I love that they did it. You know, would they fly his whole family out? Probably not, but at some point you're gonna have no guys that have been around like these cats are. You know, so I thought they did a perfect job of doing it. But what I love about it the most is that now. Now you can breathe easy because your favorite fighter that you've been watching forever that maybe never ever got to the highest threshold but had always been that guy in the top the top 10, or always fighting the biggest names, or always the guy that everybody wants to watch on the fight, regardless of if it's for a title or whatever, now they have a way in. You know, Cowboy opened up that door. And that's just another thing that people can credit to Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboy now has opened up the door that guys that maybe never, ever were going to have an excuse or a reason because they never had that title, or people are always going to debate, oh, well, I'd love to have him, but, you know, what can I say? I can't. If I compare him to this guy, he doesn't have all the accolades. Now that door has been open, and now we can have a lot of these great names that we've been watching forever finally get rewarded. So good on Cowboy again for breaking boundaries, you know, one last time, if you will, you know. So now he can just go off and be an actor and be a you know, whatever it is. I haven't watched his movie yet, but it popped up on my Netflix or whatever, and I was like, is today the day?
You're like, am I going to give this a shot or not?
And it hasn't happened yet. I saw it and I was like, I love it because it's like Big Bill and he's like turned to the side. He's looking at this. He's looking forward. And I'm like, oh, it's badass. And I was like, yes, this is the day. And I was like, well, let me think. What else have I been meaning to check first? What else?
Just hit play and walk away. just at least give him some
views. View count.
You know what I mean? Give him some views. Count.
Because part of me is like, oh, I want to like it. I want to be – I'm so
hop
happy
there,
for
it. Give it 5 stars or whatever. Just thumbs up.
I should do it. Set it. Turn the TV off. Let it just roll. Then go upstairs. Go to bed.
Go to bed. There you go. At least he gets his views. I mean, it's the least we
can
do.
I can do it for you, Cowboy. For you, go. I will do that. For you, I will do that.
Oh, man. That's too funny. Yeah. I will say – I'm really and I'm looking forward to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony this year. You know, it's funny because mm-hmm. I was talking about, you know, when I was with Junkie for many years, and you know, we were just rat race, like so much stuff to do on International Fight Week. You know, we kind of just wouldn't even. I mean, we couldn't film anything there, so we really just didn't even go.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, what the point?
And we were too busy like doing other stuff. Well, now that I don't have to do all that other stuff, I'm just excited to hear from Cowboy. Excited to hear from Anderson, from Aldo, from Jens. I mean, it's pretty cool. So I'm actually looking forward to that. That'll be this summer at International Fight Week. All right, as far as this week goes, tonight I'm actually getting on a plane and heading out to Philadelphia. I'm taking the red eye in because we are getting back to work at CFSC this weekend. CFSC 117 and 118 on back-to-back nights, Friday and Saturday. The cards are stacked with some talent, so definitely worth tuning in on UFC Fight Pass if you get an opportunity to do that. The unfortunate side of that is the PFL is coming to town here in Las Vegas. It's in my backyard, and I can't go watch the event, go cover the event. So I'm a little bit bummed with that, but I imagine that you will be on PFL duty, I guess, probably starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the media day, and then ceremonial weigh-ins on Friday, and then fight night on Saturday, fight evening.
All over at the Virgin Hotels, Virgin, which is the old joint at the Hard Rock, same place
yes.
the UFC was a couple weeks back.
The media day is actually going to be is somewhere else. It's not at where is it? I'll have to look and see. But
it's not at the hotel, or is it at the hotel somewhere else?
It's at a different location. Maybe the link.
Oh, look at that!
Or somewhere else, like downtown. Yeah, I don't know. You know, who knows? You know me. Every time I think of that, I'm like, parking. Driving down the strip. boo. But but the main thing about that too, they do early morning weigh-ins, but I guess it's kind of more limited and they don't really open it. So I was like, okay, so that give me an excuse to skip that?
Yeah, I think they haven't normally had media
at
their
maybe just a couple people
because
or something,
they,
maybe
like,
photos
they just
or
film
whatever.
It
and they, so, yeah, so I'm like, yeah, don't have to get up early. Just go do the ceremonials. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, that's going on. So, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't done a PFL event in quite some time. So, should be fun.
It's pretty cool. The media day, because I was at the start last year. Last year, the start of the season was in Dallas, Arlington, actually. But it's weird because it kind of has this, and you'll see, I don't know, you'll tell me if you feel it when you get there, but it's kind of like, opening day of like the first, you know, because it is the start of a season, is where they like,
yeah.
like every, it's, you know, normally when we're doing a media day, it's like, well, this guy's lined up with this, but I mean,
yeah.
they literally all have the same opportunity, right? I mean, they're all lining up to start their season. It's like nobody's defending a title and nobody's talking about a ranking. And well, if I do this, then I have to do that. You know, it's like, no, here we are, we're all
fresh
to start, fresh
yep.
start. I know
start
that if I get
same.
These wins,
yep.
that I can move forward. And I think that's, I don't know, man, I think that's pretty cool. It has like
it
a different
cool.
feel.
Yeah, and it's back to old school. Well, I mean, you were there at that the media day the other day, scrum style. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be in and out.
Yep.
None of this like super long stuff. So I'm not sure what sort of media turnout it's gonna be. So I imagine it's gonna be kind of quick.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. So yeah.
Yeah, because I can't imagine a lot of people will travel into Vegas for it. It's just kind of, but there are, yeah. But there's a decent amount of locals.
A decent amount of locals. So I'd assume
probably the same crew we see at the Apex every week. I imagine.
Yeah.
Brendan Lochner versus Marlon Moraes is the main event there. Obviously, Brendan's a pretty big favorite there, but Marlon, I think, is always dangerous. Tough first matchup for the season, for sure, for Marlon Moraes. Yep. Against the defending champ, but it's an intriguing fight. Rob Wilkinson, Thiago Mejeta Santos is in there. That's a good fight.
That should be a good one.
Mejeta, slight underdog there, which I think I can understand.
Yeah,
I was actually talking to Alex Davis last night, who's his manager, and he's like, what do you think? I'm like, I think it's a good competitive fight, man. I think it's not an easy one for either one of them. A good competitive fight on there, but Christoph Jocko is on there, Movalid Kabilaev. I'm actually really – I think the fight that I think is probably standing out to me the most is Bubba Jenkins and Chris Wade, man.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to that fight.
Yeah. That one should be fun.
We talked about Bubba Jenkins' media day a few weeks back, man, and I love the fact that, honestly, he just admitted, he was like, yeah, I know I should just say this is this is just my next fight, and it's just the start of the season, but he's like – nah, this is personal, man. This is personal. I don't like the guy, and he beat me before. And Bubba even said, he's like, I kind of wish I wasn't trying to beat him in the regular season. I kind of wish I was trying to beat him in the playoffs like he beat me so that the cost of what I take away from him would be the same thing he took away from me. But, man, there's all kinds of heat around that one.
Well, even speaking of that, I mean, the way that this season works out, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I mean, depending on how the seasons work out, there's every possibility these guys can meet later on.
100%.
Again.
Yep.
You know, so depending on what happens, I mean, sure, if somebody gets a knockout and gets 6 points over somebody else, that certainly sets up a deficit that somebody needs to recover, but it's all recoverable. Everything that happens, it's like an early season college football game, you know. What happens, sure, it has, you know, meaning towards the overall record, but it still doesn't detail who's going to make it at the very end
right.
to the championship.
Yeah, they can end up facing each other again.
They could face each other again later on.
Semifinals, finals, whatever.
Which
it
would
may
actually be even cooler because
you
know there's going to be even more heat again when they go. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
It's one of the best rivalries in the whole organization for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it certainly helps because it's the personalities.
Yep.
Like if it was just two guys that, we just happen to fight all the time, but I really like the guy, you know, is that a rivalry that anybody cares about? You know, at that point, it's not a rivalry. We just seem to have, you know, pass that cross each other a lot. But what's great about this is these guys, I mean, there's beef. There's real heat. So, I mean, like, it's perfect. It's
legit
perfect.
Don't like each other.
And they have great – I mean, they just talk. Like, they both can talk, and they talk a great game. So, yeah, I mean, that one's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, out of – probably the card top to bottom. I mean, that's the one that you're going to hear more people talking about because it's the two biggest shit talkers on the whole card.
100%.
You know? So it should be pretty interesting.
Looking forward to that one. Should point out, too, Josh Silveira is on there. Conan Silveira's son is on there. So looking for that. And then Impa Kasanganai has made his way to the PFL as well and will be facing Corey Hendricks. And about that, I'll be honest, at the media day, I was asking Corey Hendricks. I thought this was like an alternate bout, but Corey Hendricks said this was just a one-off. So, you know, I think it's one of those ones where, you know, you want to win it because maybe they call you to be a replacement or an alternate. I thought this was an actual official alternate fight, and it's not. It's just a one-off fight. But those guys, you got to think that they want to, you know, if they're victorious, that they'll be called on if somebody can't fight later on. So,
I mean, two UFC studs, you know, just sitting on the sidelines waiting for a call. It's like, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you?
So that will be here in Las Vegas. That is, of course, Saturday, April the 1st. It is on ESPN and I believe ESPN Plus for the prelims. So check that out. That'll get the PFL season underway. Meanwhile, Friday night, it is Bellator out in Temecula, California, Pechanga Resort and Casino, which I've gone out there a couple times for events.
You've been out to the old Pechanga.
Yeah, it's actually a really, really nice hotel, man. It's a solid hotel.
I've been to Pechanga. Maybe
they got a really good they got a really good steakhouse in there too, man. I always like to get a good steak while I'm there.
You get good steak wherever you go.
I do like a good steak.
You're a bit of a sucker for steakhouse.
Now I will say,
what's your cut of choice?
You know,
Morgan?
It just depends how you're going. I mean, you can't go wrong with a good ribeye. You know what I mean?
That's usually
good. But sometimes maybe just go with a filet and get you a nice little, maybe get a little blue cheese or something with it.
I'm getting
all
foofy now.
Come on, it just depends on kind of how you're feeling that day. Kind of how you're feeling that way. Now the Bellator card is the one I think that is probably receiving the most amount of criticism. But I think what it's getting criticism for is just that. The main event between Daniel James and Marcelo Gomez is just – it doesn't exactly strike you as like, oh, this one, there's a rivalry between these two or anything along those lines. I mean, look, they are ranked. It is number 5 versus number 7. It is a meaningful fight in the division. I don't think either one of them is really within striking distance of a title fight. So I get the criticism. These are not big talkers by any stretch of the imagination. They're not going to be out there selling the fight. They have respectable records, 10-3, 14-6-1. I mean, respectable records, but not ones you're like, oh, well, that dude's undefeated. It looks like he's really about to break into the big time. So I totally understand the criticism of this main event, but kind of leaning to what you were saying earlier, I think if you're overlooking this card, I do think it's 100% fair to criticize the main event. I'll be honest. When I was in L.A. the other week covering the Bellator card, I was even talking to the PR team, and I was like, you know, this main event's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. But sometimes I think that's just the way it works out. But the card itself is really not that bad, if we're being honest with you. I mean, Kat Zingano versus Leah McCourt, that's a good fight. And the winner is, you got to think, in line to face Chris Cyborg next. Now, Chris Cyborg, of course, has been talking a little bit of trash, saying that Kat Zingano was supposed to be next but decided to take a number one contender fight first. Yeah, I've been ducking her. So, I you know, but it's still a big fight nonetheless. So, I'm looking forward to that. Of course, you've got John Salter and Aaron Jeffrey as well. That's and that one does have some meaning right there. That's number 3 versus number 7. Some top contenders there. Aaron Jeffrey came through CFFC, so I've always got some love there. You got Jaleel Wheelis versus the return of Rustam Khabilov, a name that's been around for a long time. Sullivan Colley is in there. That looks like you know, he's kind
of people are talking about him.
A lot of people talking about Sullivan Colley, and he's going against Luke Trainer. And then you go down the prelims. Now I will say, I think there's like 15 fights on this, so it's going to be a long night of fights. But Maria Henderson is on there, of course, the wife of Benson Henderson.
Starting it off.
Getting her professional debut in there, and it's pretty cool. You know, Benson obviously retired a couple weeks back and mentioned like he wanted to step aside and give her chance. It was really cool to hear him talk about it. It was like, look, I want to let her do this thing full time. You know, fighting is obviously kind of a selfish sport, and we've got kids and family and that sort of thing. Cause I kind of asked him what his role was going to be, and he's like, look, I'm going to be in the corner, but I trust her, you know, with all the coaches that we have here, the same coaches that coach me. Like, I trust them to handle her. But so he felt his responsibility was not so much that he needed to be, like, the head coach, but more that just, like, he needed to be the one that, like, let me make sure the kids get to school and get home from school. Let me make sure that we got food prepared. Let me make sure that you can rest when you need to rest. So it'll be pretty interesting to see, you know, kind of where her career can go. Of course, she's going to get a lot of attention, to say the least, because of who she is. So that'll be the debut there. Christian Edwards is back. I know he's had a couple setbacks, but he's on the card as well. Vladimir Tokov is on here against Lance Gibson Jr. That could be a good one. Lucas Brennan is back. Lucas Brennan, the son of Chris Brennan. He's been kind of quietly doing his thing. He's like minus 1,000 favorite on this, which is pretty crazy to see. So I would say overall, Joey Davis is back, and a lot, you know, Joey Davis had some personal problems. And I think he's kind of worked through them, and a lot of people are saying, hey, man, Joey Davis, if he's back and focused 100%, like, this dude is the dude. So, no, overall, I do think there's some hot, you know, some high points, I guess, on this, and some
there's some hot points as well.
Some hot points.
Yeah, there's that OnlyFans battle. No, I'm just kidding. I was actually just looking to see if Randy Fields' opponent had an OnlyFans tier as well, so that could be the OnlyFans championship, but I don't think she does. I don't think Ashley Cummins has a OnlyFans, but maybe I missed it.
We give you the hard-hitting news.
We give you the well, – gets harder as it goes. You set that one up. I was like, well done with the hard-hitting news. Yeah. Actually, didn't know who that was until earlier when I got told to maybe cut a social for her. But now I'm glad that they brought her into my purview, because I like to learn these the names of these up-and-coming fighters.
Purview, is that like perverted view put
it
together?
It is. It's one. I just smashed that perverted view together with my purview.
Oh, ridiculous.
No, it should be good. But yeah, man, 15 or 16 according to the old
is it
Capology.
16? Oh, my goodness.
That is just brutal. Such a long day. Such a long day. And we always complain sometimes about how long UFC fight nights are when they're only like 12 or 13. And like, oh, you're going to be there for 8 hours. Well, it's like, how about even longer? But Bellator has a pretty quick – they smash through theirs. Like,
oh, especially their prelims.
They don't dilly-dally, man.
It's actually pretty wild. You're 100% right about that. And it's kind of weird and kind of cool. Like, on the one hand, it's nonstop. Like, there's fighters walking in the cage, like, while the other fighters are still in the cage. You know what I mean? Like, as they're getting out. So, it's cool because it keeps the pacing. But, like, they don't even bother to, like, really, like, introduce them or anything. But, so, it's weird. Like, on the one hand, I think it's really cool. On the other hand, it does sometimes feel like the prelims don't get any attention whatsoever. Yeah. So, I
can't. Miss the walkout, that whole, like, ceremony part of it.
You don't even, like, announce them. Like, it's just weird.
They're just in,
like,
the cage.
Yeah. I kind of like it on from the pacing side, but I kind of feel like, but are these guys getting any shine or any love whatsoever?
Especially because that's what their local ticket sales, you know, like, you figure that's what they want.
Right.
That people want to have that moment of watching their guy come in and kind of be embraced by the whole spectacle of it. But if they did that for everybody, like the UFC does, it would take forever for some of these ones. But there is one thing. I mean, that is one benefit to their point. I mean, the night doesn't feel anywhere near as long as, like, a UFC night. I guarantee the 16 fights, somebody there in the room is going to feel like the event got done sooner than a 12-fight card, you know, from UFC.
And then they'll probably end up taking two or three and having them be as post-slams. Which, that's always weird, too. That's another one, too. Like, if you're now, for anybody that doesn't know why they do post-slams, basically, you do in these markets, and Bellator's had to do this less lately as they've grown, but in the very beginning, of course, as you said, their national names weren't really that well known, so they had local ticket sellers that would help fill the building, right? But what happens, you're there to go see your buddy fight. When your buddy fights, you leave because you want to go party with your buddy. And so what they'll do is they'll take the biggest ticket sellers and they'll put them after the main card so that all those fans stay in their seats for those fights, and then they wait for their friends to fight, and then they leave. They don't have to do it as much anymore, but it is kind of weird. Like, if you know you're going to be on the post-slims, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes they were taking guys and kind of making them like a swing bout, basically, and moving them to the post-slims. And I think that's tough, man, because it's like, hold on, man, stay warm just in case we're going to need you. Stay warm.
Yeah, because they've been there at the event, the venue for a long time.
Right. And then you say, oh, no, you know what? We're not going to need you. We're going to push you back 2.5 hours till after the main card. So relax now. Chill out. Maybe take a nap or whatever. And then start warming up again here in a little. That's tough.
That would be the hardest.
I think that's
almost. You would literally have a dump.
Yeah,
like adrenaline's gone, and then to try to build it back up after that'd be brutal.
That's a difficult situation. I know they're trying to get away from that, but I know it still gets done a little bit, and it's a hard situation to put a fighter in. So I think they have to be very, very aware of that.
Yeah, but we'll be watching it. Should be good. It's a good one.
Criticizing the main event, I get.
Yeah,
100%.
I mean, there is something about heavyweights. People just love heavyweights. They like seeing heavyweights. It just feels weird to not sometimes have, like, a bigger weight class in a main card. So I can see where maybe they're thinking, like, okay, this is the biggest one. Maybe we'll do it. And, I mean, Golem's got a decent name about him, you know, I guess, partly. But, yeah, I mean, I could easily see Zingano McCourt taking
I thought about
bill
that, too. Do you
than
think
those two.
I kind of thought about that, too. I
Why
thought
not?
Maybe they might be better off putting Zingano McCourt as the main event.
I mean, but they could easily have swapped, put Kat and McCourt up top. You probably could have took Salter and Jeffrey above Golem and James and stuck James just put in there. But I just have to think that they're giving credit to the heavyweights because people like seeing big heavyweights. You know, they're giving a bonus. But, yeah, in terms of, like, the sheer name value, you easily could have bumped that down. But
especially with it being in Temecula, which is Southern California, where Kat has been around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I thought it was weird, too.
It's kind of weird. I don't know if they worry sometimes of, like, something flaking out. You know, there's always that point where, you know, on some of the ones you're like, are we 100% sure that these fight will happen? You know, I mean, maybe they were, you know, nothing against Zingano and maybe McCourt, but, you know, I think at some point maybe they're just like, which fight has the least possibility of flaking out?
No, you know what? That's probably a good point, if I'm being honest, because I know Kat was – I mean, again, there was talks about Kat fighting Cyborg and all this stuff. So that's probably – you know what? That's probably 100% exactly what it was.
But easily could have been the main event.
I think there had to
be some other reasoning why they didn't do it because, yeah, and sure, and name value and what I would rather see on a poster, easily Zingano.
Yeah, I get it. But, I guess I would just say don't criticize, or I wouldn't say don't criticize the whole card, but don't just automatically skip the whole card
because of the main event.
I think it's worth it. Now, at the same time, I'll also say, I mean, if you want to skip the main card and you want to skip Bellator entirely just because you want to watch a little bit of CFFC on UFC Fight Pass, then I mean nobody would blame you for that. It's been far too long, man. It's our first CFFC events of the year, if you can believe that, which means the schedule's about to get super, super busy moving forward. But CFFC 117 on Friday night, CFFC 118 on Saturday night. Really, really good fights all the way up and down the card. We got a pair of title fights on top of each. So there's four title fights over two nights. My man CM Punk is back. Haven't seen him in a little bit.
Oh, snap.
Yep. So happy to see him as well. I can tell you, on Friday night, Zulkarnain Khachanov versus Cedric Gunnison, interim lightweight title right there. That should be a good one. Blake Smith, the champ, actually is fighting for Bellator, but I don't think he signed a multi-fight deal, so I think they're trying to see if he signs a multi-fight deal or not. If not, he'll come back to us. And then I'm really excited for this heavyweight title fight. Greg Velasco is our champ. He's undefeated at 5-0, but we brought in a kid from Nebraska, Ronald Coleman, who's got a big-time wrestling background. He's 3-0, and I think of the 3-0 record that he's put together, his total cage time is like 2 minutes and 26 seconds. He's had three absolute just bangers. So putting people out quickly.
Must be an Uber driver. He's like, I got a fare outside waiting. I got to get done with this.
I get this done real quick, collect my money, go home. So I'm excited. That should be a banger of a heavyweight title fight. Greg Velasco, I think, of his 5 wins, I want to think 4 of them are finishes. So kind of like we were touching on Bellator with heavyweights. Sometimes the heavyweights, it's like either it's going to be really good and exciting, or it's going to be like, oh, come on, man.
Stinker.
Like, yeah, I think this one, I'm knocking on wood. I don't want to jinx it already here. I haven't made it out to Philadelphia yet, but I think this one is going to be a good one.
You going to try to hook up Bert? You going to see Bert out there?
I may have to see.
I don't know why he doesn't.
He's probably he'll be in California.
Oh yeah,
unfortunately.
Never mind.
It was good. I did see Bert in LA, man. It was good to see Bert, man.
That's awesome.
He's a legend, man. It was good to
see.
He's
ageless. He doesn't age.
I'm telling you. And he's still, dude.
He looks the exact same when I met him like years and years and years ago. I see him. I'm like, bro, you haven't even slowed down.
Well, that's just it. So, just from a physical standpoint, from just a visual standpoint,
yeah,
he doesn't age. But also from like, dude, he's still running around doing everything. It's not like, hey, man, now I got people working for me that handle everything because I'm too old to do this. Like, nope.
It's unreal,
he's
man.
He's still handling his business.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's good to see him. So that's our Friday night. Luke Fernandez is on there. He's debuting. He's a former next-gen amateur champ. Then the following, I'm telling you, the welterweight title fight should be a banger as well. Raheem Forrest and Charles Radke. Chuck Buffalo. These two dudes like to go out there and absolutely bang. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Old Chucky Buffalo.
Dude, Chuck Buffalo, that's his nickname. It's the best. Chuck Buffalo flips off the crowd. He shoves people. He's got an anger about him. Meanwhile, Raheem Forrest, man, if he wins this, I think probably a call-up is coming next. So looking forward to that. So CFFC 117 and CFFC 118 this weekend. UFC Fight Pass, myself and CM Punk. First CFFC events of the year. So definitely check those out. Appreciate it. And then next week, we head out to Miami. It's here.
Man.
You know what? This UFC 287 card is so good. And obviously, we'll talk about it next week. Maybe we'll bring in Hot T to talk about it as well, since he'll be out there with us. But I guess maybe it's just because there were two pay-per-view events last month that it kept everything so busy because, man, this card, UFC 287, is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I can't wait for it.
Does it feel like we're getting a lot of paper? Does it feel like we're getting a lot of pay-per-views?
Well, we did. We got super quick. But since there were two in March, it's like we got three pay-per-views in the span of like 5 weeks or six weeks or whatever.
Crazy.
So I feel like this one hasn't really gotten the love necessarily that that it should have gotten because, I mean, dude. And all that, man, Beheta and Adesanya going at it again, a pretty quick turnaround on that. And all the social media memes that have been going back and forth between those two guys. I mean, Beheta's just messing with the dude, you know.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. Then Gilbert Burns, the return of Jorge Masvidal as well, and what that means to the welterweight division. I feel like we're in this interesting spot right now. You know, kind of we didn't really talk about it, but you know, the performance of Corey Sandhagen, and he's talking about fighting Merab Dvalishvili, and there's a title fight, and where does Sean O'Malley fit in, and where that, and then you got the same kind of thing going on at welterweight, right? Where you're like, well, we got Gilbert Burns fighting Jorge Masvidal, you got Colby Covington, you got the champ saying he doesn't want to fight Colby Covington. I feel like 135 and 170 right now are both kind of like a little bit of chaos, like who's next, who's whatever. And, well, I guess Colby Covington's involved. It's got to be a little bit of chaos, right? I mean, of course, that makes sense. I know.
That was so good. Give me 10 push-ups.
Oh, I hate you. Now I have to mute you.
I'll mute myself.
Oh, man. But, no, I'm excited for it. I've kind of talked about this as well. I hate the fact that there's any person involvement with me whatsoever in the Colby Covington situation because I don't feel that my opinion can ever be viewed as actually independent. But I really don't think you can say what's happening at 170 until you see what happens at 287, right? I mean,
yeah.
We did see Bilal Muhammad. I'm sure you saw on social media. He had a meeting with Dana White, so be interested to hear how that went down and what happened there. But if Masvidal wins, if Masvidal finds a way to beat Gilbert Burns, how do you not do Masvidal Edwards? Like, you have to do Masvidal Edwards, right? They have to work out the three-piece at Minnesota.
I mean, do you even think that's a possibility?
That Masvidal can win?
Yeah.
It's fighting and anything possible. Is anything possible? But
when you say it like that, true.
Yeah, but
that is a huge uphill battle for
if
him.
Stylistically. Because here's the thing is, and I've heard a lot of people make the case for Masvidal. Now, obviously, one case for Masvidal is he's game bred. That dude can fight anybody. Like, you're not going to put him away easily. Like, that dude is going to go out there, right? Second of all, though, what I had a lot of people point to as well is how good his defensive wrestling is and how good, basically how good his defensive wrestling is, and then it gets a little bit underrated. But the problem is, when I think of Gilbert Burns, I don't think of, well, if you stop his shot, he's done. Like, okay, you stop his shot, and now he grabs an arm, and now he grabs a leg, and he'll pull guard, or he'll transit. Yeah. He'll do whatever it takes. I mean, his jiu-jitsu skills, that's what's crazy about having good defensive wrestling against just such a phenomenal superior grappler. Now, if Gilbert Burns does go out there, and I'm sure Jorge is going to be messing with him a little bit this week, and you know, because that's what Jorge needs to do, right? He needs to piss Gilbert off to the point that Gilbert thinks, like, I just want to knock this dude out. I want to strike with him. And that plays into Jorge's not that Gilbert can't win the fight on the feet, too.
I was going to say, if people think that Gilbert doesn't have striking, I mean,
but that improves his odds, right? Yeah. That improves his odds. For me, if Gilbert Burns just goes, I don't care, I'm not here to prove a point, I'm here to get a win to show that I deserve, and he's like, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to do what I did to Neil Magny. I'm not going to play the game at all. Like, we're going to go out there, and I'm just going to grapple, and I'm going to show my powerful, superior level of grappling.
Yeah.
I think you have to.
And that's the thing. I think – and I know we're going to talk about this fight a lot more. But I was going to say, I think there's definitely that point where if he thinks – you know, because he did an interview with Danny Secura, and he was like, you know, I want to go out there and prove and maybe steal that shine from Colby. There's only one way he's going to do that, and he's going to have to go out there emphatically and finish him. He's going to have to go hard.
Yep.
That's completely opposite of just like, hey, I need to get this win and just make sure I don't lose my place. That's when you're fighting to not lose, you know. And if for him to think that if he has a chance of taking that from Colby, he's got to go out there and do something crazy, and that's going to set him up for possibly having something happen, having George maybe catch him, Jorge catch him. But I, you know, everybody that, you know, same thing like when people used to always never think that Damian Maia had hands. Damian Maia had hands. He just never had a chance to really – he never chose to use them because his jiu-jitsu was so good. Gilbert is kind of in that same vein, but lately his hands have been showing a lot more. And I guarantee, you know, he's going to be more than happy to stand and bang. Would it be smart to do that the whole time? No. But I think he's not going to – he's not – I don't think he's going to let anything that Jorge says – get into his head, because he's got he's so focused on trying to have that clear path to the title that he's not going to lose sight of it. That's right. Why I think as much as Jorge might try to get into his head, I just don't think it's gonna happen. But I also know that if he really wants to try to get that shot next, he's got to do something good. He's got to do something big. He can't just go out there and just win out, grind out a decision. That's not going to do it.
But I think you go out there and you get a first round submission. I don't think that would do something. You go out there and you get a first round submission. That does something.
I just think he's got way too much for Jorge. I love Jorge. I think Jorge's just. I mean, how can that you not just appreciate everything that he brings into it? But man, and this is no slight of Jorge. I just Gilbert in my eyes right now. He's fighting so good that I just. Most 9 out of 10 guys that he gets put up against, I'm going to pick him.
Yep.
If you give him against Leon right now, I mean, I'm not so sure.
I agree. You know? By the way, speaking of Masvidal, I guess I didn't mention there is boxing this weekend. If you want to buy the pair, GameBred 4, Roy Jones Jr.
Is it GameBred 4 or GameBred Boxing 4?
GameBred Boxing 4. Yeah, because, boy, GameBred.
He has hands in all kinds of
shit. He's got GameBred Boxing. He's got the bare knuckle MMA. He's got regular MMA with Icon. That dude's got all kinds of stuff.
And I love when he recently did an interview with MMA Junkie Radio, and he's like, he just wants to be involved. He's like, whether it be the guy holding mitts, whether it's a guy training, coaching guy, whether it's a guy that jumps in as like a dummy at some point, a boxing dummy or whatever, just takes it. He just wants to be involved, and man, and you're seeing it.
Yep.
He's got so many things going on for him that – I mean, at some point, and then probably sooner rather than later, he's not going to need to fight anymore. It'd be great if he gets some last, like, few big ones just so he gets that seed money. But the way that he's getting all these little irons in the fire and getting things going, I mean, he's, you know, maybe one or two fights away from just going in full on business mode, mm-hmm. you know, producer, promoter, whatever you have it. This might be one of his last things as well. I mean, unless he wants just those crazy, just big spectacle fights or whatever against, you know, arch rivals, that's always going to bring him up money or something. I mean, I think he's at that point, you know, and it's not that, oh, he needs to keep fighting. He just, at some point now, he's going to have so much other shit going on mm-hmm. that if he wants to properly do it, he's going to need to focus on it. So good on him, man. I'm so happy. Like, you want to talk about a guy that has risen from the streets, fighting on the streets and backyards, to now being, you know, this name brand that everybody knows, but now being a guy that actually is now having promotions, putting on huge fights. To think that he's going to have Roy Jones Jr. fighting on one of his promotions.
Look, here's the lineup: Roy Jones Jr. versus Anthony Pettis, Vitor Belfort versus Jacare Souza, Jose Aldo versus Jeremy Stephens. I mean, those are your featured
That's
fights
ridiculous.
Right there. You also got, you know, some other names you're going to reckon: Pro Gonzalez versus Gina Mazzani.
Yes.
Marcus Perez versus Joe Riggs. It was actually supposed to be Paul Daly, but I think there were some visa issues, so Joe Riggs is in there as
well.
So, I mean, Andy Nguyen versus B. Nguyen is on there. So,
dude, it's ridiculous.
It's pretty wild.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know how their ticket sales are doing, but, yeah. You know.
But in terms of name value, that is incredible.
It is
That's
pretty
incredible.
Cool.
Dude, good job, Jorge.
I love it, man. He's got a busy couple of weeks coming up.
Yeah, he's going to make some money. He's going to spend some money. He's going to make some money.
He's going to make some money, though. That's what you got to do. Well, cool, man. All right, well, listen, I'm going to head out. I got to go finish packing and flying out, taking the red eye out to Philadelphia tonight against CFFC 117-118. Certainly appreciate everybody tuning in. If you can't watch it live, making a watch of the replay or something like that, I think it's going to be a good one. It's been a while, but I'm excited to get back to action, excited to work with my man CM Punk. Meanwhile, Cold Coffee will have you covered for all your PFL needs.
Yay!
I think it'll be fun. I feel bad because
it'd be a nice switch up.
They're doing a 3-week
nice
stretch,
easy.
I'm only going to get to do the third week because you're not going to get to next week either.
No,
you'll be
one
in Miami.
One and three. Yeah, and then Miami in between.
So I'll do week number three for the PFL. I'm kind of bummed, like I said, they're here. But from what I've heard is that they kind of want to make Vegas kind of an annual destination versus.
Boy, that theater, man, it's stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, UFC uses them now. These guys are using them. So, I mean, good on them to kind of, you know, make a name for themselves. Why not?
It's a cool venue, man.
It's a neat venue.
It's actually a really cool venue, man.
Yeah.
I've seen some concerts there and seen some fights there and stuff. And it's actually a pretty cool spot.
Parking to get there was easy enough.
Yeah, it's actually free parking, which is nice, because a lot of places aren't. Many places aren't in Las Vegas, which sucks.
Yep.
But it's actually free parking there. So, yeah.
Should be good.
And if you're in Vegas, man, I think they said that ticket's like $25 or something.
Oh, that's nothing.
Dirt cheap.
That's nothing. It's even worth it just to go check out the that casino if you haven't seen it, because they have revamped it.
Completely remodeled. It's completely
new. That was the first time I had went there since they changed out some of the stuff in the back and all the restaurants and the different other stuff in the back. So it was kind of neat when I went there. I just kind of like did a quick little scan through.
Super cool.
Yeah.
It used to be Hard Rock, so now it's Virgin Hotels.
Yep.
The old Mirage is still the Mirage right now, but it's going to be it's been bought by the Hard Rock, and that will be rebranded to the Hard Rock. They're building a whole tower and all that, so big changes going on. It is weird. I guess maybe I guess Richard Branson, who owns Virgin, I guess maybe he owns Brookstone too, because there's like a Brookstone store in there. There's like an electronics store in the middle of the hotel. I don't know. It's kind of weird over at Virgin. So anyway, but it's a nice venue. It's worth going to check. They have really remodeled it and all that, so it's cool. All right. Meantime, I got to get out of here. I got to go pack. Get out of here. Always good catching up with you. Appreciate everyone. Patreon.com/ MMA Roadshow for supporting us over there. Always means the world. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Like I said, no UFC this week, but still plenty of MMA action
still
to keep
so
you busy.
Much.
Still a lot
still
going on.
So much.
Still got Bellator. Still got PFL. Still got ONE Championship on Friday morning. Does their weekly, mostly Muay Thai shows, but it's Muay Thai and 4-ounce gloves, which if you're not checking those out, those are fun. They're doing those every week in the Peony Stadium, which I got to make it out to Thailand sometime. Thai boxing, Muay Thai is what got me into MMA, long story short. So I got to make it out to Thailand. Anyway, we'll tell those stories for another day. We'll be together in Miami next week for UFC 287.
Yeah, yeah.
In the meantime, check out everything this weekend, and thanks for listening.